Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's Joanna. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. We're going to do a training call today. I know our last one was a Q&A call, but we've got a training call today for the Master Ritual and Facilitation Training Program. And I am really excited because today we're going to be looking at one of my most favorite things to look at, which is how to use journaling exercises when you facilitate groups. How to use journaling exercises when you facilitate groups. There's lots of different ways to use them. And, you know, it's different, like in the coach training program that I lead, in Sacred Depths Coach Training, we also look at journaling. Towards the end of the program, we look at journaling as a coaching tool. And when you use it as a facilitation tool, as opposed to a coaching tool, it's related, but it's different. And there's just so many really wonderful and effective ways that you can use journaling. So we're going to explore all of that today. And also, there's a lot of ways that people tend to use journaling that aren't very effective. And so we don't want to just, like, use journaling to use it when we facilitate. We want to use it in the ways that it's going to be most effective and create the impact that we want, and help bring our participants along that hero's journey, right? The one that I speak a lot about in Curriculum Lab. So journaling exercises are a way to do that. So we're going to be taking a look at all of those things today. Where I want to start is the purpose of journaling questions. So I know that this can seem super, super obvious, but I think it's just worth us taking a look at and reviewing. We touched on this a little bit in our training in July, but I want to take a look at what is the purpose. So the way that I see it, there are a couple of really big purposes and uses for journaling when you facilitate. Number one is it is a good way to help people connect inwards, particularly if the people that you're serving either aren't conditioned or used to connecting inwards, or you need to warm them up. It's the beginning of the workshop. It's the beginning of the retreat. That's, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, what I mean by that is there's lots of different ways that as facilitators we can guide our participants to connect inwards. We can meditate and visualize and sing and do ritual and, you know, all of those things. But if you've got people that either aren't used to doing those things and think those things are kind of weird, or you have people that are totally used to doing those things but it's towards the beginning of the workshop or the retreat, journaling is a good kind of way to start connecting with yourself. It's safe. People don't think it's strange. It doesn't feel like a big emotional stretch to do it. And the reason why it doesn't feel like a big emotional stretch to do it, this leads to a second purpose for doing journaling exercises, is journaling is essentially, not always, but for the most part, journaling is essentially an intellectual activity, an activity that engages the intellect. Now, it can, you know, depending on the questions that you ask, the writing can absolutely activate the heart and the soul and the body for sure, but the primary mode of processing that it activates is the intellect. So any time that you're facilitating, and in order to get your participants from point A to point B, from where they are now to where they like to be, any point in that journey of A to B, right, it might be A to Z, there might be many steps, but any point in that journey where you recognize that your participants need to understand something about themselves on an intellectual level first, that is a moment to insert a journaling exercise. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. In the journey, the hero's journey that you're taking your participants through from point A to Z, if at any point during that journey your participants need to understand something about themselves or their life or their situation, or even their feelings, if they need to understand that, get clear on that, identify that on an intellectual level, then that's where you want to insert journaling. Now, if participants need to understand something just about the world on an intellectual level, as opposed to something about them, their experience, their own life, their own feelings, if they need to just simply understand something about the world on an intellectual level, or, you know, a fact or, you know, whatever it is, you can usually take care of that simply by speaking, right? By teaching, by speaking to them. But if it's something that is personal to them that they need to identify, journaling is a really great way to do it. And as we've taken a look at before, oftentimes when people go, you know, when they learn something deeply, sometimes you can go straight, you know, for example, to the heart or the body. I just led a retreat last week, and it was with women that have been to my retreats before, and we didn't do any, we bypassed the intellectual piece. I did some speaking, right, but we actually went straight into a very deep grieving ritual, and I didn't have them journal at all or you know, do the intellectual piece at all. So, you know, every now and again you can bypass it, but generally if you want to get people to the heart learning levels and the soul learning levels and the body learning levels, generally you want to insert an exercise that is about the intellect first. It's a way to get the toes wet, you know, and to really help them get clear, as well as, now here's a third purpose for using journaling exercises when you facilitate. Journaling exercises are really effective at helping participants become invested in the material and the curriculum that you're teaching them. Their journaling exercises are really great at helping people become invested in the material. Again, because we go back to the second purpose, which is like if you're using the journaling to help them understand something about themselves, right, they need to understand whatever issue you're teaching, whether it's, you know, why it's important to cut sugar out of your diet, or whether it's about, you know, the importance of looking at, you know, a certain archetype for your business, you know, whatever it is, you need buy-in before you go really deep with people into it. And you can use journaling exercises for them to see how this topic fits in with their life and to create investment around it. And we're going to go through a lot of examples today, so you'll see exactly what I mean by all of these pieces. So we already covered a little bit you know, what I wanted to share next, but I go a little bit deeper into it. So next question, before we actually get to how to create these journaling exercises and how to sequence them and, you know, and all of that and the reasons behind certain kinds of questions, the next thing I want to take a look at is how to use journaling exercises. And what I have found is that journaling, I mean, the whole curriculum is a continuum, so one piece builds on the next, builds on the next, builds on the next. There's really no pieces that, you know, in any kind of curriculum that are just kind of standalone, right? Because we go back to this journey piece. You know, it's like if you're going from New York to Los Angeles, you're not going to, like, follow a certain route and then all of a sudden, like, pop up to Cleveland and then back onto your route, right? Unless you really need to go to Cleveland for a certain reason, you know, you're going to kind of keep that straight, that line, right? So, but that being said, journaling, even more so, when you use it, it's best used in combination with other exercises. It's best used in combination with other exercises. And so I'll give you an example of this. And this is the example that I'm going to use is generally how I use, this is how I always use journaling, or I guess the sequence, the combination of journaling. Not the actual questions themselves, but what comes before and what comes after. So generally, where I'll put a journaling sequence is going to be after I introduce a topic, but before I lead a discussion on the topic. So what that basically means is that, let's say you have a topic, let's say the topic is about self-love, the importance of self-love when you're losing weight, right? So the first thing I'm going to do with that topic is I'm going to speak about it. Me as the leader, I'm going to introduce this concept of self-love in order to lose weight. I'm going to define what self-love in this context means for me. I'm going to talk about why it's so important. I'm going to, you know, probably give examples from my own life around how I've cultivated self-love or when it's been hard, you know, in order to activate GAP and activate vision for my participants. I'm going to, like, really create a full context and, you know, understanding around the concept. But then after I create that full context and understanding around the concept, if I know later in the day I'm going to be doing some deep work, some deep ritual and ceremony or processes around self-love or, you know, looking at the ways that we hate on ourselves, you know, whatever it is, if I know that that deep work is coming, what I need after this context, this introduction that I've given, is I need for the women in the room, they've already started to become invested because they've heard my story and some of my teaching on it, right, through that introduction. But what really needs to come next is I need for them to be really invested in this topic so that they're willing to do the deeper work that I'm going to be presenting to them. And I also need for them to understand how this concept of, you know, self-love when you want to lose weight, like how this has already affected them, either how they've already been using it or if they haven't been, you know, loving themselves, I want them to understand the impact that it's had, right? Like, I want them to really get a sense of their situation. So I would usually put it after an introduction to a teaching like that. And then, but for me, very, very rarely, like only one time out of 100 would I ever just leave a journaling exercise then dangling on its own, right? There's always a follow-up then that comes, right? So there's like a setup for a journaling exercise. That's the context. That's the intro. There's the journaling exercise itself. And then I'm always going to have a follow-up so that people can process what they've written, so that they can think more deeply about what they've written, and so that they can be seen and heard in what they've written. So the follow-up for me is always going to be either we'll do a full group share, right, with the entire room, and I'll lead a discussion on that. Or I'll divide people up into groups, you know, like partners, and they'll share. And then probably after that, we'll also do a full group share. But you always want the follow-up after the journaling, or else it's like hitting a tennis ball but not completely following through. It's like, you know, when you hit a tennis ball, it's not just about the impact that the ball makes on the tennis racket that gets the ball to where you want it to go. It's the impact, that's the journaling exercise, but then it's also how you continue to move your arm even after the racket has hit the ball. Okay, so let's pause here for a moment because I just shared a lot, and you know, we're going to get into actual questions and sequencing and you know all of that, but let me just pause here and just hear from you. Let me get us into lecture mode. If you have any questions so far, or what you're hearing so far that's important for you, or what you're noticing, star two. I'd love to hear from at least one of you. I know this isn't like a deep question, right, that I would ask for a journaling exercise, but I do just really want to pause here and hear what you're hearing so far, or if there's any questions, so star two. Anyone got anything to say? All right, well then, let's move on. So, as I was thinking about the best way to bring you more into the picture on how to sequence, how to create journaling question sequences, what I realized was probably the best way to do it is from examples. So that's what we're going to take a look at next. So I'm going to give you some examples of my own journaling question exercises and sequences and the types of questions that I've asked, and then we can break them down. And I'm going to start with actually some of the journaling sequences that you guys have already experienced from part one of the ritual training. So let me just find the right page on this in here. So the first one I want to take a look at, you guys may or may not remember, but the first morning of part one, we did a whole section on the sister wound and what the sister wound is and why it's so important as a facilitator to be constantly working on how you show up in your relationships with women in particular, particularly if you're, you know, facilitating groups of women. So hopefully you guys all remember that. And if you remember the details, I wouldn't remember these details, so I'll just remind you. If you remember the details, I set it up exactly the way that I've been sharing with you guys today. So first, I spent probably 10 minutes, maybe even a little bit more, just talking about the sister wound, defining what the sister wound is, the way I see it, talking about how it shows up for us in our lives when we facilitate, you know, when we're in circle. I spoke a little bit about how it's rooted in patriarchal culture. I spoke about the importance of doing as much as you can to mitigate, you know, the pain of the sister wound when you're facilitating, right? So I gave you, like, really a very big context, but it didn't have to do with you so much yet. I probably told a story from my own life around it, right? So it was starting to have to, it was starting to kind of be about you simply because hopefully I shared it in a way that was emotionally evocative and you were putting yourself in the scenario. But really I was talking about it in general. So from there, because where I wanted to go next was for you to really see how this applies to you in your life, in your business, in your facilitating, we did some journaling, and that's where we're going to focus the most on the sequence. But I just want to say, after that, I did the follow-up. We shared in small groups, and then we brought that share back to the full group as well. So I gave you all the opportunity to then process what you wrote. I gave you the opportunity to think more deeply about what you wrote through the sharing, and I gave you the opportunity to be seen and heard in it, as well as learn from each other, right? That's the other thing around the shares, is it's like you see yourself in another woman's experience, or you know, you gain wisdom from something that she's sharing. So let's take a look at the actual journaling that we did for that section, you know, for that sequence. So I'm going to list out, I'm going to actually share with you guys, these may not be the exact questions I asked you just because I always have my outline, but then kind of I go a little bit with what's happening in the moment. But even if these weren't the exact questions that I asked you, these were pretty close, and this is a really good sequence anyway. So I'm going to share with you, there were 7 questions. I'm going to share with you each of the 7 questions, and then we're going to break them down. So the first question I asked was, on a scale of 1 to 10, when you think about you, like when you show up in community, how would you rate yourself as a sister? So that was the first question. Rate yourself from 1 to 10 as a sister in terms of like how well you show up with other women in community. The second question I asked was, what do you love about community and what do you love about sisterhood? That was the second question. What do you love about community and sisterhood? The next question I asked was, where are you personally blocked when it comes to sisterhood? Where are you personally blocked? Do your blocks show up as being jealous of others, of comparing yourself to others, other women, of getting annoyed with other women, of like not wanting to feel too vulnerable, right? So where are you blocked? And then the next question I asked is, how do those blocks relate to your family of origin? How do those blocks relate to your family of origin? Oh, sorry, I asked a question before the family of origin one. Sorry, guys. The question I asked was, so where are your sister wounds? When you step into a room or a party or a meeting, where does it come up for you, right? So that was the next one. And then, you know, where do you know this? Basically, where do you know this from? Do you know this from your family of origin? How does it relate? Or where do you know your sister wounds from? And then the last question I asked is, how is your sister wound, the one that you just identified, how is it showing up in your work, in your business? And particularly if you're already facilitating, how does it show up in your facilitation? Okay, so let's take a few moments with this sequence. What are you hearing? Like, what are you noticing about this sequence? Why did I ask some of the questions that I asked? Why did I ask in that order? Star 2, what was I doing in this journaling sequence? Somebody raise your hand so I know you guys are with me. awesome. Lexi, what are you seeing?
Okay, hold on 1 second. Can you hear me? My phone's a little bit wonky.
I can hear you, yeah. So
okay,
thank you
perfect for
coming forward.
Awesome. Yeah, so I vividly remember, like, all these questions because it was very impactful for me. But I think with anything when it comes to rating yourself on a scale, it really makes you think about just, like, where you fall rather than, like, hey, how do you show up? It's like, oh, I don't know. But when you really think about it and you have to give yourself, like, a number grade of some sort, I think it helps you look at, like, oh, this is where I am and maybe this is where I want to go. And so really starting to think about how it applies to you and also, like, I guess that's, like, more of a broader question, and then it seems like you were going – more specific into where, like, the root of it actually came from.
Yeah, beautiful. So there's a couple of really important pieces in there that I want to highlight. So first of all, yeah, the rate yourself question, that is a where do you land in a very easy general way where you don't have to, like it's, you're starting to look at yourself, but you don't have to look too much into the craggly corners. It can be one of those really clarifying questions, like, oh, I thought I was great in sisterhood community, but, like, why I'm giving myself a 4 or a 5 here? Something, you know, there's something up here. And then you're right. I went from the general to then the specific, and then some of the origins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Good. Who else? What else? Or is there something else you wanted to say? I thought you said something.
Oh, no. That's it.
Okay. Awesome. Great. So who else? What else did you see in the sequence or even about just the specific questions themselves? Let's break it down even more. Why did I ask some of the questions that I asked, or why did I ask them in the order that I did? Star 2. What else are you guys seeing? All right, I'll let me fill in a couple of other pieces here. So that second question, what do you love about community and sisterhood? That's a really strategically placed question. And the reason why it's strategic is because I know that the sister wound stuff can go very deep, very quick, and I know that it can also sometimes bring up a lot of pain and a lot of hurt and a lot of just like, ugh, I don't even want to deal with this. I don't want to go, you know, like a lot of resistance. So by asking this, just this simple question, you know, what do you love about community and sisterhood, before asking about where are you blocked, you know, where does it come from, how is it impacting, you know, all of that stuff, just by asking this simple question, I'm making the space, number one, I'm making the space more safe, right, because you're seeing that there are things that you really love about it. There is reason to be invested here. And then the other purpose for that question is to activate your vision, right? So I talk about this a lot, you know, when I teach marketing, but we do a lot of activating of gap and vision when we teach also, right? So activating vision means that you're activating for your participants, like, their highest desire for themselves, you know, what they really want, right? So by asking a question like, what do you love about this, it really helps to activate that desire for them and that idea of, like, wow, you know, there is so much value in aligned community and sister and in healing the sister wound. From there, I asked a number of questions of identifying where the blocks are, right? So where are you blocked? Where are your sister wounds when you step into a room, right? All of that. So that's about clarity, right? That's about going from this general, you know, maybe like, ugh, I hate being with women, or ugh, I never feel uncomfortable. I never feel comfortable when I'm in, you know, whatever it is. So it goes from like this general, just like blanket emotion feeling of it, which actually doesn't serve, right, in the healing process or the transformation process of this. Those specific questions actually allow you as a participant to pinpoint what it is. Is it jealousy? Is it comparison? Is it annoyance? Is it vulnerability? You know, is it when you go to parties, or is it when you're, you know, so that it's not just a blanket ickiness, but you can like kind of pull some of the like ugh out of it. Now it also functions in the opposite way. If you're coming into this and you're like, oh, I'm great with women, I have no problem whatsoever, right? By asking these specific questions, I'm helping you actually see like, oh, actually I could use some help in this part or that part. And by the way, this is another piece of journaling questions. That's why in those particular questions, I give a lot of examples. So that's strategic as well. It would not have been as effective if I simply asked the journaling question of where are you blocked? It may have been effective for some people who have thought about this before, who know this part of themselves really, really well, or who were taking really copious notes when I was speaking, you know, right before when I was giving the introduction to the topic, right? But for everyone else, that's why I add this thing of where are you blocked? Here are some examples. Do you get jealous of others? Do you compare yourself to other women? Do you get annoyed when other women are talking or when they're too big? Do you feel like it's hard for you to be vulnerable? Do you not like it when other people are vulnerable, right? I give lots of examples so that the writer, the participant, gets ideas and can begin to see herself. From there, I ask the question, where did it come from? Where do you know this from, right? Because this thing didn't just like all of a sudden appear when you were 30 years old or 40 years old or, you know, however you are the last couple of years. There's an origin to this. And, you know, in the introduction, I very likely spoke about how these wounds come from family dynamics, right? So I've already set that up. And now we're going to see, so where did it come from? It's really valuable for participants when they're identifying where they have blocks, for them to get clear on where the blocks originated. Now, this isn't therapy, so we are not going like deep into like the origins and, you know, recapitulate. You know, it's not, we're not processing through that. I mean, we all, you know, depending on what your modality is, we all have processes to help work through that, right? But this is more of an acknowledging. This is more about, oh my gosh, that's why I have this. That's why this is coming up for me. It doesn't have to be like that. That's how I acted as a little kid, or that's what was true for me as a little kid, but it doesn't have to be like that now. And then, you know, finally I ask the question of how is it actually showing up when you facilitate or in your business, right? Because I wanted everyone to then begin to make some intellectual connections between this very, like, personal issue of where they have wounding, but because the ultimate goal of why we're at the retreat is around your facilitation, right? I wanted you to start connecting the dots there. Okay, I have some other examples, but I want to just pause here. Any questions or other thoughts on what I just laid out for you? Star two. No? Okay. So let's continue on. I'm going to give another one or two examples, and then we're actually going to have some fun. I'm going to give you guys a scenario, and you guys can create sequencing for yourselves, and then we'll take a look at those, and I'll give you feedback on it. Actually, I want to speak to give you two other kinds of examples. So a little later on that first day in the ritual training, in the afternoon, we were talking, I introduced this topic of initiation and, the first, well, I shouldn't say the first phase of the cycle, but the phase of the cycle that's about initiation, planting, starting new things. And we did a very different kind of journaling exercise than the one I just shared with you. If you remember, I asked a lot of quick questions. So I asked questions like, do you start alone or with others? Do you begin quickly or do you take your time? When you start something new, do you act on instinct or do you think things through? Do you begin by writing your ideas, by meditating, by dreaming, by telling others? Are you secretive with your new ideas? Right. I was just asking lots of these quick questions for you to answer yes or no or have really quick answers to. So this type of journaling exercise is about helping participants become detectives and understand, a way that they act or react or respond to things for them to see a full, detailed, complete picture of the way that someone, whatever topic you're looking at, of how they act, react, or respond to things. So I didn't need to ask, deeper journaling questions for how do you initiate, right? Because this exercise was really just about, I want you to really inside and out understand just how, this type of exercise is about how you initiate. Quick, slow, secret, not secret. So you can understand your style of doing this, right? So when you're facilitating, we always know, like I said before, kind of the bigger purposes of the journaling questions about investment, about intellectually understanding something, all of that way of connecting to yourself that's easy. But then, the deeper question is, what are you trying to accomplish? That's going to help you figure out the type of questions to ask and the sequence, right? So in the first sequence or the first exercise, the sister wound one that I shared with you, what was I trying to accomplish? I was trying to help you get fully connected into how you carry the sister wound around with you and how it impacts your life. So I was going to be asking more of those open-ended questions, those origin questions, those impact questions. But in the second example around initiation, what I was trying to accomplish there is for you to get a full picture of how you initiate, just a full picture of the how. So I'm going to be asking, quickie questions there. I want to give you one more example. I mean, there's so many examples we can go through, but I'm going to give you one more example. And this one happened, I ended up including this in our July retreat because we just ran out of time. But it's something that I sometimes do if we have time. It actually comes soon after the exercise I just shared with you. It's when we're looking at initiating and starting. And it's an exercise. I'm just going to describe it to you. It's a different way of getting people to journal. So usually when we think of journaling, we think of asking a question. The question has a question mark at the end of it, and then people answer the question. Sometimes, especially if you're working to uncover limiting beliefs, you can use a type of exercise where you just give writing prompts. You give writing prompts, and then your participants have a certain amount of time to complete the prompt. So in this case, We're looking at initiation. This exercise was geared towards uncovering some limiting beliefs around initiation. So some of the prompts that I often give are, I start because. I'm willing to start again because. Starting feels like. Here's what it takes to get me started. Starting is hard because I don't start because, right? So I'm giving these writing prompts. Now, why would you want to do that as opposed to just ask the question, right? Because instead of giving the writing prompt of I start because ... right? I could just ask the question, so why do you start? Why do you start things? ? And sometimes that would be the best way to present it, but when I present it as the writing prompt, it's because I usually want you to write really quickly, and I want you to just go, like go with that statement and just see what's going to come up, almost like from your psyche with that, right? So usually I'll give journaling rules when I give these writing prompts, because the writing prompts are, they just have a different kind of energy to them. So the journaling rules that I give with these writing prompts are, number one, I'm going to ask you to write for 2 minutes straight. Sometimes it'll be a different amount of time. It could be 1 minute, whatever it is. I'm going to ask you to write for 2 minutes straight. I'm going to ask you to keep on writing. Just write and write and write without stopping. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about spelling. Don't worry about how you sound. Don't go back and edit. This is about just going with it, right? Just whatever wants to keep on coming, whether it's right or wrong, just write it. And then usually the other rule I give for this kind of writing prompt is and don't stop writing until I say to stop. So if you get to a point and you don't know what else to write, just keep on repeating the last word that you wrote until the next thoughts come, right? So hopefully I'm articulating this well, but these writing prompts are, it says like a different kind of energy to actually bypass the mind. So they are about the intellect, but these kind of writing prompts are about, let's bypass the mind and get to a deeper place with all of this. So let me pause there and just ask, are there any questions? Star two. All right. Oh, question. I think this is Janie.
Yes. Hi.
Hey.
I don't have any questions, but I just want to say that this is really awesome. This is really perfect for what I need to be listening to right now, because I am using this journaling in my circles that I've just started. So this is just really great and really helpful. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad to hear it. Good. Good. So I want to give an opportunity to have you guys actually work on this for a little bit and to share and give feedback and all of that. Before we do, I realized there were two things I wanted to share with you at the beginning of the call that I forgot to share, so I want to make sure I share those. The first is I want to give you guys an assignment, and the assignment is if you haven't been facilitating since our July retreat, I want to give you the assignment to facilitate something. So I get that our lives are busy, but I really feel like it's time, if you're not already putting your facilitation skills to practice, it's time. And this doesn't even have to be a paid event if you don't want it to be. It can be online. It can be in person. It can be with two other people. It does not have to, it doesn't have to be quote-unquote, for your business. It can be with friends. You can facilitate a new moon circle or a workshop on X. It doesn't have to be long, but I want to really encourage you to practice for a couple of reasons. Number one, because those of you that have been facilitating since our July retreat, I've heard from a number of you, like, everything is so much better now, right? Like, you're putting these skills to use, and you're going so much deeper, and people are so much more engaged, and the transformation is happening. So I want you to, you know, before you get too far from it, I want you to put it into practice. The next reason why I'm giving you this assignment is because if you have any resistance or fear, truly the best way, I think, with this kind of thing is to just rip the Band-Aid off. And, like, I could help coach you, you know, and I will if you're coming to the November retreat. We can absolutely look at the resistance and why and, you know, all of that. But I would really, I just want to invite you to just do it. It's okay if it's imperfect. It's not going to be perfect, I promise you. But just do it. And then there's a third reason. And the third reason is because if you're in this training, I am 100% certain that the kind of energy that you carry is as follows. When people are in the room with you, you light them up, you magnetize them, and they want more of you. And when I say in the room, it can be in the virtual room too, right? And so this will actually, even if it's just a small, tiny thing that's quote-unquote not for your business, this will likely, in one way or another, bring more business to you. Because you'll get to be in leadership either directly with ideal prospects or with people that will know prospects. So that's my assignment for you. I want to hear about it. The next piece I just wanted to mention is that so many of the women from this program have stepped into the Sacred Depths Coach Training, and I'm so excited and happy about that. The coach training really is such a beautiful complement to the ritual and facilitator training. And I just wanted to let you guys know I do have a couple of spots still open. So if that's something that you've been thinking about, let me know. Reach out. Let's have a conversation about it. It makes me happiest when women that I already know, who I know are ready for that kind of work, step in. And so if you've been thinking about it, just let me know. Okay, so from there, let's do a little bit of workshopping and experimenting here. So I'm going to give you guys a topic, and the idea is I want you to spend a couple of minutes coming up with journaling questions that you would use after you gave the intro or the context for the topic. And of course, you're each going to have your own take on this topic, right? So that's all good. I'll just give you a little bit, you know, just for prompting. I'll give you like a little bit of context, and then let's see what questions you would come up with. So let's say this was, you know, this is maybe towards the beginning of a workshop where you're introducing. And so what you, the topic that you're introducing, we'll go back to the example I used earlier, so self-love and weight loss. Or let's even make it even broader, self-love and health, right? So let's say the topic of this workshop was self-love as a vehicle towards greater health and well-being. And let's say that in your introduction you defined what self-love is, you gave examples of the role of self-love in health and well-being, you gave examples of when it works and when it doesn't work, maybe you spoke a little bit about why it's so hard for people to practice real and deep self-love. And you know, any other details that you would bring in to that introduction. So if you were to come up with a journaling sequence right after that to help people connect inwards, to help them get a sense of where they're at, for them to, you know, just understand, like, all the things we've been talking about today, what's the sequence of questions you would ask? I'll give you, like, 2 or 3 minutes right now to jot down your questions, and then I'd love to hear some of the things that you come up with. Give you guys another minute. Take another couple seconds. So what are some questions that you would ask in this situation? Either specific questions or some questions that you would pair or sequence together? Star two, or let me know if I haven't given you enough time. Maybe I haven't given you enough time. I'll give you another half minute. Okay, so star two, what are some questions that you would ask or sequences? Or if you're getting stuck, let me know where you're getting stuck. Star two. So there aren't too many of you guys on the call today, but there are enough. Or let me know if I've just totally lost you because I'm not... I need to know. So star two, what questions would you ask, or have I totally lost you? All right, I'm going to call on some of you because I'm not hearing from anyone. Amanda, I'm taking you off mute. Oh, wait, no, people have raised their hands. I just didn't see it. Sorry. Okay. Let me take the women that have raised their hands. Sorry, you guys. My technology is kind of slow, I guess. I'm taking Ruthie. Oh, no, Laura. Sorry. Laura.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay. This is the direction I went with this. First, who do you know and admire that radiates self-love and good health? And then what are the aspects of this person that you would like to cultivate in your own life? what would need to be replaced within yourself with these new aspects? Where did you learn these things that need replacing? If they're not changed or replaced, what might be the outcome? And that's as far as I got.
Yeah, beautiful. So let's break that down a little bit. There's some just really beautiful questions and sequencing. So I love the who do you know and what aspects do they have, right? Because it can sometimes be so powerful for people to find an example, right? Because my example is the speaker of that vision might be very different than every person in the room. So to find your own example and to get that baseline of the vision through that is really, really strategic. Strategic. And then from there, I love the sequence of what would need to be replaced. And I didn't write down the exact questions, but how you went from like the replacement to then what would happen if you don't change this, right? And that's one of my favorite questions that I like to use sometimes. So, you know, getting clear on what would need, what was the first question, the replacement question? Can you share that again?
I ask, who do you admire, and then what aspects would you like to cultivate in your own life, and then what would need to be replaced inside you to make room for this?
Yep. So,
and then where did you learn those things that need to be replaced so that we can kind of get an origin, and then if they're not changed, you know, what's going to happen if we don't adopt these new ways?
Yeah, beautiful. So that's a beautiful sequencing. There's one piece, Laura, that I may have added in there.
Okay.
And you can just try this on for size. I think that there's a little bit of you need to connect the dots a little bit more in between that second and third question.
Okay.
So the second question were what are the aspects of that person that you admire?
Right.
And then you jumped straight from the aspects to what would need to be replaced inside of you. And
right.
I think I might have inserted a question in there that helps them see how they're not walking with those ideal aspects first.
Okay.
I think they need
that
to see
sense.
That before they would know what would need to be replaced. That makes
Very
sense?
Very good. Mm-hmm.
Great. Good, good, good. Thank you for that share. So helpful. Let me get a couple of other women here. Ruthie. I took you off mute.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I actually had two sequences, and of course this was very quick, but it kind of depended on the amount of time I had and where I wanted to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I started with, what does self-love mean to you? What holds you back from loving yourself? Can you remember a time that you really felt self-love, and what did that feel like? And along those lines, I said, how could you bring that feeling into your life today? An example of, or took it to, what practices do you have that could grow your self-love? The other direction I went with it was...
Wait, let's pause there for a moment.
Okay.
So I wasn't writing down as
okay.
you were talking, so I won't remember everything, but I love how you start off with the definition. What's your definition of self-love? Again, so everybody can have their baseline. It's actually very similar to Laura's first question, but asking it in a very, you know, completely different way. Different people can get into these things in different ways, right? So the definition question is similar to the who you admire. It's like, what's the baseline for the vision here? You know, what is this to you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second question that you asked after that, Ruthie, was, just repeat it again.
What holds you back from loving
what
yourself?
What holds you back? Which is such a great question. What holds you back? But again, similar to what I was sharing with Laura, I think there's a missing question there in between
okay.
defining self-love and what holds you back. And for me, that the connecting question that needs to go in there are, where are the places that you don't love yourself?
Okay.
They need to be able to define that first before they can really wrap their brains around how they're holding themselves back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, great. What was the second direction?
Well, it was very similar to what Laura said in that I said, let me find it again. when do you think your lack of self-love started, and do you have any specific memories of anyone that said anything? I'd have to work on that question a little bit, but specific memories of anyone saying anything that led to you loving yourself less or questioning yourself. So because I'm an EFT practitioner, I would look for specific events to do healing work on. So that's why I was looking, you know, I mean, if your dad made a comment about how fat you are or whatever, that might be the spot that it started. So that's what I was, that questioning went to.
Beautiful, beautiful. The one tweak I'll toss to you, if it resonates, is language really, I find when I'm creating, and I know I asked you guys to do this so quickly, you guys are doing such good jobs with the quick period of time that I gave you, I think a lot about the words that I use when I ask these questions, because you never know what's going to trigger someone or all of a sudden like eject someone out of the question. And I think the phrase that, or the question that you said was, when did your lack of self-love first start?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the question?
Along those lines, that's pretty close.
Yeah. So what kind of stood out to me was the phrase lack of self-love. When did the, you know, and my thoughts on that were that, are that, that feels so absolute and full. Like to me, when I hear lack of self-love, I hear like, I don't love myself at all.
Gotcha.
So I would just, you know, just tweak those words a little bit so that it doesn't seem so black and white.
So do you have a suggestion of how that could be worded in a better way?
Yeah, so it might be like, for the places that you don't love yourself.
Yeah, I like that wording.
Where do you think that started? When did that start? How was that modeled?
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. There's more women with their hands raised. I want to hear from you guys. I'm going to take one more share. If you can stay on the line, wonderful, because there's just so much wisdom coming through here. So, Lexi.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Let's see. I said, rate yourself on how you prioritize self-love in your life, 1 being barely ever and 5 being daily or on a regular basis. What would be possible for you if you were to prioritize self-love and incorporate more of it into your life? How can you weave more into your life? So what are some examples of self-love rituals that you either love doing or that you think would be really fun to explore? Make a list of at least 5 to 10. Let's see. What, if anything, prevents you from invoking more self-love into your regular routine? Is it time, not knowing what to do, feeling unsure of whether or not it will yield results? What else is coming up for you there? In what ways are you denying yourself self-love, and how is this affecting your life, your business, your relationships? What's at risk if you don't incorporate more self-love into your life? And then what specifically will you need to change or do differently in order to prioritize self-love and incorporate more of it into your routine? Or maybe what are you committed to doing moving forward?
Good. So there's so much in there. Let me pull a couple of things out. They're awesome questions. So first, I love that you gave examples for some of the questions. You don't need to give examples for everything, but like, you know, even the rating of the 1 to 5 and explaining what the 1 is and what the 5 is, it helps to give those details. So I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
The question about the whole question, but I think it was like, where do you deny yourself self-love?
Mm-hmm.
This is an important point. So it might be, Lexi, that when you gave your, you know, quote unquote introduction to this topic, you spoke about the concept of denying self-love. but it might have been that you didn't. Sometimes I find every now and again in a journaling sequence, you ask one question where you introduce something really important and deep that you actually didn't touch on in the introduction, and it can be like a real heightened, like climactic kind of question. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people are all of a sudden, like it just hits them, over the head like a ton of bricks. Like, oh my God, I'm denying my, right? Because that's a little different than I don't have self-love or I haven't been, right? Like this concept of denying.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's actually strategic to do it without mentioning it beforehand, and then boom. There was one, there's so many other pieces I want to pull out, but there was one other I wanted to, when you went to what are the different ways that you could love yourself, or whatever that question was.
Oh, yeah, I said, what are some self-love rituals that you love doing or that you think would be really fun to explore and incorporate more of? Make a list of at least 5 to 10.
Yep. So I love that question. It's so great because it's generating actual practices. I would have a setup question for that would serve a couple of purposes. And the setup question would be, when was a time in your life when you took exhibited self-care, and what were the practices you were doing at that time?
Okay.
So the reason why that's a good setup there is, number one, it will just help begin to generate ideas in case they're like, well, I don't do it, I don't know, like what, right? Like it'll generate ideas. But the other thing that it'll do is it will show your participants that it is within their reach. That this isn't something that's so far away, right? Because that question of, like, what are some things you can do, it's a great question, but it can feel hard for people. And I actually would ask that question later in the sequence. It almost feels too early for, like, what are the practices, right? That's almost at the end. Like, once we've had this inner journey, okay, now what can you do, right? And I bet that's similar to how you coach even your one-on-one, right? You get – it's like you get to the strategy almost towards the end. First, you explore the issue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Great.
Awesome.
Okay,
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we could, as you see, there's so much in here. We could continue this conversation, more and more and more. There's just so much juiciness here, but I'm hoping that today's call, got you started on this, thinking more deeply around this, and is giving you some really good ideas. If there are any questions that you still have, let me know on the Facebook group. I'd love to hear some more. Some other hands are raised right now. I just don't have time for it, but share them in the Facebook group. I will comment on them and give feedback. And just thank you to everyone for being here today. I'm sending you all a really big hug, and I can't wait to connect again. I'll talk to you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.